Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Akashic Wisdom, and I am Donna Fox. And tonight we are going to talk about, well, it depends on what you want to talk about. This is the show, as I said before, the reason I do this show is for you. It's to help you understand more about the Akashic Records, what they are all about, where, why they're here, or actually they've always been here, why the access to them is available now. And so I take your questions and we talk about your life and we talk about what brings you joy and what brings you sadness and what things you're confused about, where you'd like clarity. But the records don't necessarily tell the future. It's not that they can't tell the future. It's the fact that there are so many futures. It has to do with your free will choice, what future you choose. And the way that works, very interestingly enough, is the Akashic Records, the way I access is through a holy prayer. But what's interesting about this is that when I talk with someone, again, it's not about what is going to be. It's not even so much about what past life is going on. I mean, that comes forward sometimes. But the reality is, it's what am I doing in the here and now, or what can I be doing in the here and now, that will shift the way my life works and feels, and why did my soul choose this path? So tonight we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about, so you're really open. And we can talk about anything from parenting to relationships to career to joy to why certain things are happening in the world the way they are. And what I do is you ask the question, and we use your name. And typically, if I do a telephone consultation with someone, all the time when I do a telephone consultation, a private one, I use their current legal name. But for the sake of privacy on the radio, we're just going to use your current first name, obviously. That gets us to the area of the records through intention at this point, because I open up my records and the records of the show so that we can move together into a synchronicity. So if you have questions, you're welcome to call in. And you know what else was concerning, very curious about, is the idea of orbs. So if anyone has information about orbs out there, I personally have not done a lot of formal research. So I haven't gone up and read a lot of things on the internet. About a minute and a half before the show started, I went up and just Googled orbs. And my experience of orbs is just from the onset of looking at what was up there is different. What I've been noticing lately for me is that orbs start circling around when I'm doing not only my matrix energetics work, but also when I'm doing my Akashic Records work. And it's not a sense that these orbs are any way, shape, or form ghosts. They are not ghosts. They are intelligent energy beings that show up for me, especially from a healing modality, from when I move into a healing space. And if you're curious about what I'm talking about with matrix energetics, I'm a certified practitioner in matrix energetics. And you can find out more about Richard Bartlett and his work at www.matrixenergetics.com. And so I do individual sessions with the Matrix, both in-person and distance work over the phone, as well as I do in-person and distance work with the Akasha. And many times I will combine them, doing Akashic Records work and Matrix work, sometimes together, but typically the Akashic Record consultation will come first, and then we'll clear work, whatever needs to be cleared with the Matrix as an addendum to the session. However, so let me just give you some information about how to contact me tonight and how to be able to get on the show. If you're listening and you would like information or you'd like to be able to talk to me, ask a question, give your comment, it's all welcome. You would call in the U.S. toll-free 877-876-5227. And for the Canada and U.S., you can call 888-815-9756. Or if you're out of the country, or you just want to call direct, if you have unlimited long distance, that'd be great. You can call at 530-876-3222. And those are direct lines. They all feed into one line. So that's what's important, is if you get on and we are talking and there's somebody else out there who wants to make a comment, we only have one line that feeds in. So you be patient if you get busy and just be aware of when somebody signs off. The other way to contact me tonight is through email. I have my computer on. It's up in front of me, and I am here ready to take questions via email. So you can email me at info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom, that's A-K-A-S-H-I-C, wisdom.com. And so I will take your questions tonight. Well, the records are open, and so are the lines, and we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. Who's this?
My name is Gayla.
Say again?
Gayla.
Gayla.
Uh-huh. G-A-Y-L-A.
Do I know this Gayla?
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever called into your show.
I listen,
but I'm kind of like a backseat participant.
you've been lurking, is that it?
Lurking. There you go. That's a good word.
Okay.
I'm
the reason
lurker.
I say that is we have In the Akashic Records, Mary Parker, who is the founder of Akashic Record Consultants International, her daughter's name is Gayla. That's the reason I asked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
wow.
One of her daughters. She's got a few. But so that's why I said, do I know this Gayla?
Okay. All right.
Anyway, so how can we help you tonight, Gayla?
Well, you know, things are so crazy around the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
What's up is down, and what's down is up.
That's
mostly,
right.
Mostly economically, everything's going up while wages are going down. I guess what I would like to know is where, in the larger scheme of things, where does all this end up at? Because, I mean, this can't keep, something's got to break, something's got to give here pretty soon.
Right.
It's like a big balloon that we just keep blowing more air into, and you know what happens when that suddenly there's just too much air and the thing pops.
Yeah,
and
right.
I think we're so close to that now.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, you know, what that brings to mind is, I don't know if there was this commercial on television, I don't know if you ever saw it, where they're advertising actually a sinus medication.
And I just saw that tonight,
head blows up like a balloon.
Uh-huh.
That makes me so uncomfortable, I have to turn that commercial off.
I know.
It's like, I can't stand it. It's like, because there's some identification point to that it messes with my alignment.
It does me, too.
Yeah,
in fact,
really
that was just on 10 minutes ago on CNN.
Oh, really?
Commercial, yes. I'm like you.
And the funny part about it is the advertiser might be thinking they've done a good job, but I remember the commercial. I do not remember the product.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I don't because I would never want to buy that product.
Uh-uh.
It's like, yuck.
No.
Anyway, so, okay, back to your question. But that's what it brought to mind is the idea that we have all these things that are going, it's almost like they're going in different directions. The picture that the record keepers are showing me, it's almost like a fireworks display gone bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, did you ever see a fireworks display where it goes sideways rather than up?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so those spinner things that go out of control.
And everybody's running for cover, yeah.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it's like, it's scary in that respect. However, I think what's really important, I mean, you know, on the surface, we could say it's scary. On the surface, it looks like, it, you know, we immediately want to run for cover and because we feel danger. Yet, the actual question you're asking, and let me just make sure that I get this right for the record,
okay,
because is that what you're asking is insight into the are you asking global conditions or U.S. conditions? Where do you live?
The whole economic system, and where we as Americans, and then, you know, as to even narrow that down, where I fit into this in the economical scheme of things.
Right.
Because I work with animals, and it's becoming extremely hard for me to take, I do rescue work
okay,
with dogs and cats, and it's getting really hard for me to be able to care for them,
yeah,
financially.
Oh, and what city do you live in?
Huh?
What area do you live in?
I'm in the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee.
Oh, great. Okay. Okay.
In a very small rural community that was extremely impoverished.
Okay.
Before we started having
the problem.
Astronomical rise in gas and
yeah,
food, these people already struggled here on fixed incomes, a lot of them on disability.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we want global America and gala. Is that it?
Yes.
Yep. All right, so so from a global economy point of view,
I guess you can hear him barking now.
I can. They're wonderful.
Yes.
That's okay. The global economy that is the global economy that is. What typical Americans see as going out of control,
mm-hmm,
actually has been a trickle down effect for us. It's what I'm hearing is that I'm sure that other people who are more up on the economy than I am, what they're saying is the price of gas has been astronomical in other countries for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we are just reaching it of $4 or more is, you know, I guess England has had that of $5 or more or $7 or more a gallon for years. So
that's
This is not. So the Americans have enjoyed a different kind of consciousness. Now, what's going on here is that the global community and you know, make no mistake, what they're saying is the global community is controlled truly by a select few.
Mm-hmm.
And that
it's an oligarchy.
Say again?
It's an oligarchy. Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but
the few at the top control the happenings of the many.
Right. And so however, there are factions. What I'm hearing is, and again, I can't get into unless I'm telling anybody else's stuff. But the reality, what they're saying is there's actual friction, and there is dissension is the word that's coming forward in the ranks of the money families, if you will. And what they're also showing me, which is very interesting, is that each money family, from a spiritual point of view, is controlled by a different and it's not spiritual faction, it's really more of an extraterrestrial faction.
Interdimensional entities?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's interdimensional and extraterrestrial. It's very interesting. It's almost like a multidimensional, like clearly the Bush family would not admit that they are being controlled by anything outside of their faith, you know?
Right.
But the reality is they are.
They are, yes.
And I mean, and I'm not trying to But the idea here is the wealthy of the wealthy are actually pawns on a playboard here,
mm-hmm.
and as we all are for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something that we are involved in without permission. So the idea here is it's not that even though we feel helpless and out of control, the whole aspect of the global community and the global economy has internal leanings and internal lessons for each individual as a way for their own personal fortitude to be able to be brought forward. And so what is happening from this global challenge, if you will, from an economic point of view, coming down to the Americas, you know, the United States, and then coming down to you.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that what these times are doing are forcing individuals, including yourself,
mm-hmm.
into looking at a different way of life and a different way of actually generating income.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time. Now, I don't know what's happening in your life, but what I'm hearing is that you, like many, are looking outside of yourself, almost like into different realms, to be able to generate dollars. Do you understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You do.
I do.
I mean, you can identify with that. You know where that fits in your life.
Pardon?
You know where that fits in your life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the idea here is...
You have to diversify.
Yes, it's about diversification,
mm-hmm.
but it's also about changing the attitude about the power of money. Now, on the
did outside, that already.
Say again?
I said, did that already.
Right. You have.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's happening globally. That's what's happening in America. What's happening is people are going to come to a point where they are not going to be ruled by the lack of, if you will, or the abundance of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what also is happening is because of the economy moving to such a point, it's going to create actually instead of a divided community, a more enhanced community.
We're going to have to interact with each other.
We must interact
with each
other.
Go back to a barter system.
A barter system, exactly. And the other piece is that what the computers were starting to do, in many cases have done, is to stop socialization, or they create socialization from a fantasy or a. It's like socialization. What they're saying is socialization behind the veil of the computer.
Mm-hmm.
This economy is actually the balancing part of the technology that would separate the economy is the balancing part that will maintain our humanity.
Okay.
Can you get that?
Well,
can you hear
let's
that
see.
Phrase?
Are they saying that that we, as a society, need to catch up with the technology that we have to use it in what's the best benefit for humanity?
Well, sure, that's there, but the way of technology would be to that every person is behind their computer is basically isolated. They don't, you know, the idea here is. It's interesting because what they're saying is that on one hand people are going to start working at home and their socialization will be limited. On the
right.
other hand, there's other factions, if you will, that will move away from technology and into co-op with each other that will create larger communities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it has an interesting effect about how things are shaping up from the human element of interaction with others as well as the human element of interaction with self. Because
mm-hmm.
people who were who were up to this point were feeling that they were dancing as fast as they can, they can't get ahead, are actually dropping the rope and saying, you know, I can't do this anymore. And
yeah.
I'm going to find a different way that is more fulfilling for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, a whole ripple effect happens.
Mm.
Because dropping of the rope means that if in fact you choose not to have stress over what you don't have,
yeah, yeah,
then no one can hurt you.
I think it's time for downsizing. And when we go to the store, ask yourself, do I really need this?
Right.
You know, because Americans, we have been like little pack rats. We just collect everything in because we've been programmed on. We're just bombarded in the TVs with, you know, advertising 24/7. If you watch TV any length of time, and subliminal messages are sent that we need this to feel like we're part of society, when in fact we don't.
Mm-hmm.
The best
right.
gift we can give each other is of ourselves.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so the idea here is that. Especially when a person goes shopping or something like that,
mm-hmm.
it's we have been so blessed to
yep.
have supermarkets that we can buy whatever we want
yep.
pretty much any time we want.
Yep.
That
we're
you
spoiled.
Know, very spoiled. But the idea here is, it's really not about do I need this. That's an important question, although.
Yeah.
It's more about is do I need it now?
Correct.
You know, part of the mentality that some of us have grown up with is the idea of stocking up on things out of fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we're a very fear-oriented society here in the United States.
Right.
And everything in our government, our news media and everything, they feed us fear on a daily basis.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But see, the other piece is, Gayla, is something that you have to look at is what part of your life do you want to keep and what part do you want to release?
Mm, that's something that I'm going through right now.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely. Got a checklist. Doing a lot of analyzing self.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's
because
going on.
Because it's time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's time to really have a one-on-one with self.
Yes.
And that's really true for all of us.
Well,
but some will, as we were talking earlier, when, you know, everybody's running because they know that firework stand's getting ready to go all different directions. And so I even in my little community here, I see people becoming very agitated, very disgruntled, and they're taking it out on their neighbors, their friends, their families. It's really disheartening sometimes to see this because, you know, we've been told that there's nothing wrong with us. Even our whole cultural society here in America, we're all right, and everybody else in the world is wrong. Okay, and I think that it's time for all Americans, including me, because I speak number one about me. I can only fix me before I can't fix anyone else. But I think it's all time that we really go within and say, ask ourselves, how did we get where we're at? Why are we the most hated nation in the world now? Yet we still are told by our government officials and the talking heads, CNN, Fox, all of them, oh, no, we're the greatest country that's ever been. No, we're not.
Well,
and there's been a lot of very ugly things done in the American people's name. And it's time that we stand up and take responsibility for that and say, hey, I let this happen on my watch.
That's right.
And then try to come up with a plan, of course a peaceful one. But, you know, peace and love begins at home. And when I say home, I don't mean in your house. I mean home where the soul dwells within the body.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Yes.
And so the thing is that what we each is, what you're saying too, is that it all begins with you and me.
Correct.
You know, that's
on an individual level,
right.
And then it becomes a collective.
That's right. And it has to do, and not that I want to get political about this, but we have one of the most historic elections coming up, not just because we have the first woman running or the the other candidate is the oldest candidate. So no matter who is chosen, we've got a historic situation going on.
We do.
Yeah.
And it could very well be the end of America, but however it turns out, it will be destiny, I feel.
Oh, it always is destiny. And it is all collective choice.
And however this works out, it'll be something that the American people need to go through based on what president we get.
That's exactly right. And again, it's a
whatever lessons that universe feels we need to learn is what we're going to get.
There you go.
I'm going to get off the phone and let some other people call
in. Good.
But it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Great.
Okay, hon.
All right.
Have
take
a great
care,
evening.
Gayla. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, hon. Bye-bye.
Right. Take care. Bye-bye. So we've started out talking about the economy. I have some wonderful questions here. One of the questions here is wants to talk about the Marys who traveled with Jesus. And, you know, I think that's a very interesting question. And there was a P.S. on this saying that her niece has orbs showing up in the photos lately. So I'm going to... Just let me see where the record keepers want to go with this, and then anyone who wants to call in on this one certainly can. Before they talk about the Marys, they really want to talk about the orbs, because it's really important that we look at not only the orbs and the photos, but it's really about opening our hearts to the healing aspects of these beings of light that are truly all around us. And so what is being suggested is that you as an individual truly move into your divinity and consider being willing to receive whatever information and healing that the orbs will bring you. Because again, what my information of knowing from the Akasha is that they are not spirits that have gone beyond. They are healing, intelligent energies that are here to support us in our work today. And the challenges that we are having as humans are all part of the support that Spirit is giving us. And so that's a real important piece for you to take a look at. So just know that's there for you. Let me just take a look at this other one here. There was a question here from a person that's asking me to access their Akashic records and give them information on their career and relationship arena. And this question needs to be a little bit more specific than that, because I just want to make a comment. The records will never really tell us what to do. They give us all the information we need in order to make the appropriate decisions. So I'm going to go back to this question about the Marys here. What's important is that the women that walked with not only Jesus, but there were other prophets of the time. So what I'm hearing is that the Marys were almost like the women, they were the female aspect of not only the disciples, but they were also in many cases would be prophets among themselves as well. You won't hear the idea of a woman being a prophet during biblical times because of the male domination. However, the Marys, what I'm hearing now, were a group of women that were prophets among themselves. And when various various people came forward and aligned with them, they not only followed them, they gathered people for them. So, for example, when Jesus walked the earth, what they're calling it a sect of Marys would do is because they were aligned with his message, and it's almost like they were expecting him. And so they would gather people, and they would minister. What I'm hearing is they would minister to his crowds, whereas the disciples would sit and listen. The Marys would minister to the crowds, so helping them be comfortable. It's really more about like bringing water for the ill to move into a place of comfort. It's almost like they were the... that's very interesting. What I'm hearing is they were like the energetic healers that would move through the crowd to almost expand on the message that was being given. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. So if you have a comment on this or a question, you need to call in right now. I mean, don't lay back. The line is open. So if you want to talk about this, this would be the time to do it. All right? So, and you can call toll-free. If you're in the U.S., you can call 877-876-5227. If you are in Canada, you can call 888-815-9756. Or you can call direct at 530-876-5227. 3222. So this is important. You know, the idea here is that this work that I'm doing feeds better when there is discourse, where it's back and forth, where there is the energy of the other person that I can feel and I can work with, because it's your questions and your curiosities that get us to the right areas of the record. So know that your questions are important. And again, calling in is easy. I'm an easy person to talk to. So just that should have wet your whistle a little bit, and you can call in and ask some more questions around the Marys. What I'm also hearing is Mary Magdalene was actually the... like the head of it, or the main Mary, I guess. That it wasn't Mary, Jesus's mom. It was Mary Magdalene that was the organizer here. Yeah, so that ought to help somebody get curious. So feel free to call in on that one. The idea of how the records can help you with your career and relationships. Please remember, the more specific the question, the better the answer. So we have called a caller right now. So hello, caller. How are you?
Hi. I wondered about the Marys and healing, because there's so many women going into Reiki now and going into different healing modalities.
Right.
And I was wondering if they're being called to that. And also, with all the kids who are coming back from Iraq, who've been poisoned by depleted uranium, are we going to be able to help them with some of the knowledge that these Marys knew and that are learning now, and some of the energy and resonance healing? Because there's so many people so badly injured, and there's going to be generations and generations of mutations in DNA.
You might want to shut your radio down, hon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Speakers, because there's a little bit of a delay.
And I was wondering if it would be called for that. And then also,
Did you shut it down?
Sorry, I was in the room.
Hello? Hello there?
Hello.
Hi there. Tell me your name.
My name's Virginia.
Okay, Virginia. Where are you calling from?
From California.
California, okay. All right, so you had mentioned being poisoned by what from a rat?
No, what I'm worried about is the more I'm learning about the young soldiers coming back from Iraq who have been in contact with depleted uranium.
Oh.
And their DNA is being modified by the depleted uranium. There are babies being born in Iraq now with such horrible deformities.
Uh-huh.
And I know there's so many women being called to healing right now, and I was wondering if there's a bridge there where people are being called to healing because there's such a need now, and how can we get from point A to point B to help all these people who are coming back? I mean, we have decimated the Middle East
right.
with depleted uranium, and I feel like we should be getting ready to heal everybody. And I was wondering what you've received about what you can ask about that.
Okay, that's a great question. The interesting thing what they're saying too is that first of all, the first thing they want to do for you, Virginia, is to ease your heart. In this respect, it's very important that because they can hear your passion and your deep love for humanity, and it's so appreciated. And they also want you to know that this is the time for you personally to expand your own personal healing abilities. Have you been taking classes or what?
Not really. I've been writing about things that I'm passionate about.
Okay. Well, that's another way of healing. Good.
I'm going through a healing process. I lost my husband last year.
Okay.
So I'm going through a lot of transition.
Certainly. May I ask how he passed?
Cancer.
Oh, okay. Wow. And that sounds like it was a bit of a journey, quite a journey for you and him.
Yeah.
The piece on the healing, though, what they're coming back to the idea of it, number one, writing is an important piece because it gets it out of your body. Not to mention, you're receiving some very important information.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, but they also want you to know that you have a natural, energetic ability. And it's important to understand that healing, and I'm sure you know this, healing happens when it's appropriate, and it can never be manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we can feel called to help assist people in their healing, but the reality is the human doesn't do the healing. The human really holds the energy so that the individual the client can move into the alignment that healer, if you will, has aligned so when I'm working with a client, what I do is I align with, let's say, the energy of the Akasha or the energy of the matrix energetics. And I move in and I drop into that energy, knowing full well that is intelligent energy. And then my client is welcomed into that alignment. And whatever takes place as far as healing is concerned is between the client and the divine.
Mm-hmm.
All I do is hold the energy and the alignment for them to step into.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
I don't feel personally drawn to be a healer because I feel more an urge to write about things to get people talking and thinking about things.
Right.
And so that will lead to healing work.
Exactly. And that's what I said before, that's healing itself. But they, what they're sharing with you is know that you don't have to be called to the work to do it. Just know that you have within you an innate ability to align yourself with those frequencies. And that's what actually helps you write.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the healing part for you. In other words, like that's the alignment. And and as people read and the information you're writing, it expands their consciousness, and that it allows them to align at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea here is that the young men coming back from Iraq, and the babies that are being born that are deformed because of the uranium, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Depleted uranium.
Yeah.
It takes 4.5 billion years for it to reach a half-life.
Say again?
It takes 4.5 billion years for a pound of uranium to reach its half-life. It contaminates every place because they're using it on the live weapons.
I didn't catch it then. It takes 4.5 billion years for it to reach its half-life.
Half-life. I mean, you still have half of it. After 4.5 billion years, you still have half of the uranium that they've dropped on those, that they're using on those weapons will still be live and active. It's still contaminating after 4.5 billion years. And the connection is looking for is to how we're going to because I see so many people being called into healing.
Yes.
And so much need for it.
Right.
And how to get, how to know what to do, how to heal these people, and how to prevent more birth defects, and how to heal the resonance of, the energy that's being created by the wars, by the depleted uranium, so that can be healed in itself so that there's no more contamination.
Right. The energetic healing that's coming forward is can be used from a distance point of view. So one doesn't even have to be in Iraq to be able to affect the situation, because we're all connected, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh, certainly. I mean, I notice there are people starting peace vigils and consciousness vigils, and I'm interested in starting vigils so people will move into consciousness. Rather than just having protesting against things, we'll be moving towards healing things.
Right.
Because that's the only way. I mean, there are different things to do at different levels that are all important for the sake of expanding the knowledge of what's going on. But when it comes down to the healing part, I think it would do us all well to get started on the healing and to try to find that way toward healing the horrible, finding some healing for the people who are coming back with all these issues. Every war has terrible things that it does to people psychologically and emotionally and physically, but the depleted uranium has a potential for really wiping a lot of us off the face of the earth, or being the last generation that isn't born with massive numbers of deformities.
Right.
And it's just, these war crimes have gone on, and we're still having to suffer the administrations that continue to bomb and continue to go on with this, and we don't see an end to it. And the incoming politicians want to continue this for who knows how long. And besides stopping it, we're going to have to heal the damage that's already been done.
Right, and I think that what's important is actually organize those vigils, those prayer vigils, so that the most powerful prayer one can pray is love.
Yes, yeah.
And so it's really important that whenever one thinks of the Middle East, that they immediately send love over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the idea here of collective prayer can be extremely powerful.
Yes.
And so the idea of just moving into meditation and praying and putting just the country of Iraq in the center of the circle,
mm-hmm.
just putting Iran in the center of the circle, putting Israel
mm-hmm.
in the center of the circle, and all the Middle East countries, because the idea here is that each country has its own, it has its collective issues as well as its individual.
Right.
And, you know, and the idea here is that right now, what I'm hearing is what would be most beneficial would be to diffuse, to send the prayers of love to diffuse the anger so that peace can have a chance to emerge. And once peace emerges, it's like which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Right.
The idea here is, what they're saying is that the people of the land need to be able to hold within their heart that peace. And the interesting, what they're saying is that when the land, when the humans that live on the land are in total peace with themselves and with the world, if you will, or their world, the issues of environment actually take a second seat, second place. And so the folks coming back from Iraq need to be that they're talking about is being schooled in how to release the anger that they're carrying.
Uh-huh.
And this is this what in many cases people would think this is kind of pie in the sky information. But the more that we as Americans and humans realize that everything is a matter of choice, the remembrance of spirit and choice is that that we have a choice on how to feel about things. And what happens here is when we choose love, we become more powerful, not from an egotistical point of view, but from a healing point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we do is we offer that alignment to everyone that's around us. You can't have healing without love. It's impossible.
I'm sorry, the phone's kind of fuzzy. Can't have what?
You cannot have healing without love.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Love is the first aspect of any type of healing. It must be heart centered
mm-hmm.
for it to do any, for it to even appear or do any good. And the same way the healer needs to carry and hold that energy and alignment of love. So too the recipient, the client, if you will, needs to be open to receiving that love.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's just the phone is fuzzy, so sometimes it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
My other question, somewhat related to this, is because I mean, although I left the church years ago, I grew up Catholic, and so there's a whole idea of about the Immaculate Heart being linked to the Sacred Heart, so that the Immaculate Heart, in other words, or purity, being linked to understanding true compassion, which was the Sacred Heart, to go through the, in my eyes, it's like to go through the fourth chakra. And so when you talk about being heart-centered, is that sort of also the same thing, you know, to understand, you know, to bring yourself to a point of love where you can understand the compassion?
Right. That's right. You see, it's love and compassion are hand in hand. Can't have
yeah.
compassion without love.
Right.
And you can't have love without compassion. Because when you're truly in the energy of love, compassion shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes. Thank you. And thanks for talking about the Marys. It's something I've been very interested in for a long time.
I hope that is helpful.
Thank you. It is. I'll get off now so somebody else can talk.
Thank you. Okay,
bye-bye.
Virginia. Take care.
Thank you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This has been a great show. You guys are great. I love these questions. I just want to make a comment. If anyone's going to be in the Cleveland area on Tuesday evening, the 27th, and would like to come to a lecture I'm going to be actually opening up the records of the group so everyone can have an experience of what it's like to be within the energy of the Akasha. That's going to happen Tuesday evening on the 27th in Shaker Heights, Ohio. And if you'd like more information on that, please email me, and I'd be happy to send you some information on that. And for folks who are in the Pittsburgh area, I'm going to be doing a lecture at the Journeys of Life bookstore. It's in Shadyside in Pittsburgh on June 6th. So if you know anybody who's there, there is an event fee. But if you go to journeysoflife.com, journeysoflifebookstore.com, you can register. Or if you want more information from me, I'm happy to email you a flyer information, and you can email me at the info@akashicwisdom.com. Just for your own information, if you are out there and you're enjoying this information, would like to be able to access your own information, we're going to get to a couple of the questions here that have been emailed. But I just want to let you know that there's going to be a level one class in Cleveland at the end of the week, as well as in Pittsburgh on the 21st and 22nd of June. And if you're listening and you've taken level one already and you're wanting to know level two, there's going to be level two both in Cleveland and in Pittsburgh. Cleveland at the end of this week, as well as in Pittsburgh the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. They run kind of concurrently different times of the day. So let me know if this is of interest to you and email me or call me. If, in fact, you would like to have your own consultation on a private one-to-one basis, I do telephone consultations, and you can reach me privately at 216-691-1233. So feel free. Just also one more comment. Akashic Record Consultants International, we're having a great conference in October in Chicago. And please go up to that website, and it's a new website. It's AkashicRecordConsultantsInternational.org. So that's our new website, AkashicRecordConsultantsInternational.org is our new website. So give that a shot and see how you like it. Okay, let's get back to the emails here and see who. We only have a couple moment minutes left. Let's see who has sent me something here. I have an email from Ken. Okay, I can't read this. There's a lot of word information there, so I've got to go through that. I'll call him maybe later. And then Shruti, I think that's right. I don't know if Shruti is a gentleman or a lady, but there is information here as a follow-up. And what the specific questions are is that this person is going through a job transition, and these are really very specific questions to this person. They're not necessarily global questions. So how can I best support and answer this question so it would be interesting to everyone? Okay, so I have like a minute left to talk to you about your question. So what's going to happen here is I'm going to give you a message that will be for everyone listening. This is a message from the Akasha around career and relationships. And it can never be said too often, they said. What they're talking about here is from a career point of view to go deep into what you truly love to do. and become much more specific about, rather than just, I love to help people. Look at your life. Look at your life and what do you most enjoy doing? There are ways for you to be able to move into your own power in many, many different ways. It's about being open to what is available, what is out there for you, what perks your interest. That's number one. And that's a very quick answer. But do that homework and see what comes up for it. And number two, regarding relationships, if in fact you're in a relationship that makes you feel uncomfortable, if it makes you feel less than cherished, if it makes you feel that you are not worthy, then know this statement is true. If it doesn't feel loving, it isn't. And you really need to look at what's loving in your life and how are you supporting yourself in loving you. What actions are you taking to show and teach people how to treat you? And if people are treating you in a way that is inappropriate, now, this is not about blame, but it's really important that you look at how did I teach them to treat me and how can I shift that into treating myself differently and teaching them a different way of treating me. And so if you're looking for a relationship and you really want you want to understand why a relationship is not coming to you, what you need to know and you need to look at is your willingness to receive and your willingness not to be needy, but your willingness to be able to be loving and not to be loving by being a doormat, but by being a loving with boundaries, a loving human being that is willing to receive and willing to give. And so it's about personal work that readies you for your special person to come into your life. And so we could go on for a whole program about that, and we certainly can sometime if you'd like to call in or email questions. If, in fact, you would like, I'm just going to stop now because we are almost out of time. I just want you to know how much you all are loved. And you never have to feel alone, no matter what's going on in your life. You can imagine the orbs. You can imagine Archangel Michael. You can imagine Jesus. You can imagine Muhammad. You can imagine Buddha. You can imagine Moses. It doesn't make any difference. You can imagine Shekhinah, the female aspect of God, or Mary. But the idea is you imagine what you identify as love and bring that into your heart. You're so worth it.